Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church in Van Cleve, Mississippi. Thank you for joining us for today's sermon. This is our sermon for April 19th, 2026.
We're going to open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
Barbie, come, you may be seated.
Good morning. Our scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word of God for us, the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is
going to
be from 2065. We'll stand and sing it three times.
God is for the people of God, and the gospel this morning is from Luke, the 24th chapter. It's printed in your bulletin. This is the word of God this morning. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if they were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is near to evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, returned at once, assembled together, and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And on page 691 of your hymnal is the new version we've been using of the Apostles' Creed. Would you share it now together as we affirm our faith? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know, maybe one of the first or second. By the way, y'all need to know this about Matthew. It took his daycare teachers, how long did it take before he talked to them?
2 months.
So y'all are doing well, Scott, Martha. Think about that. It took one or two times, and y'all got him down, Dorothy. Y'all got him talking to you. David, at least looking at you some. So not unusual for him to do that, but our girls are a little quicker to talk. And I'll never forget, we were traveling. It might have even been during the time of we were having COVID issues. But we'd come to the coast, and we were carrying Ellie back to Starkville with us. And she got in the car. She had all of her stuff in the back. She had her little suitcase, and she had her doll, a bag, you know, with all her toys that she was going to play with while she was gone. And she's sitting, you know, where I can see her kind of in the back seat, in the little jump seat, car seat. She's sitting in it. And I could see her, and she kind of shook her head, and she kind of did like, I could tell she wasn't comfortable. And we had gotten just above Kiln. Now, if you know geography, we hadn't gone but about 10 miles. And Ellie said, she said, "Nettie," and she leaned up in her seat. She said, "Nettie, come here." And she said, "It's a long way to your house." Now, this is a fun trip. This was an exciting trip. Now, you know how it is when you travel. This is how the McDougals used to do it. Now, some of you may have done it. We used to plan vacations with our kids when they were growing up, when they were 8, 9, 10, 12 years old. And if we were living somewhere, we would get packed up the night before. In fact, we were so excited about traveling, we would just wake up about 2 or 3 in the morning and say, "Guess what? Let's just get in the car and go on up the road." And we sometimes, occasionally, we would do that. I think we had one child that disagreed with that, but the other three were ready to roll. The other two were ready to roll. So excitement when you're traveling is nothing new, but this is not an exciting trip today. In fact, I would say, I don't even know how to compare it in my life with anything but like preparing to go to my dad's death in Hamilton, Alabama in 1996. Kind of didn't even want to get in the car, but knew that when I got there, he probably would be close to death, if not already gone. And I knew that My mother needed me. My other siblings were far, far away, and this had come on pretty quickly, even though he'd been sick for a few months. Some of you have experienced that, the trip that you make when somebody dies. It is a long trip. It's a long way. And there's a lot to think about. This was 7 miles or 10 kilometers. And according to the way most people would have walked back then, they probably walked a mile in about 15, anywhere to 18 minutes. They probably weren't in a hurry, really. They were sad about what had happened in Jerusalem. They had heard some rumors as they were gathering their stuff and leaving. And by the way, Cleopas or Clopas is a name. It's twice in the New Testament. It's here and it's another place over in the Gospels. And we don't know who he was. We don't know what he did. There's some tradition within our Catholic brothers and sisters that he was actually the uncle of Jesus. He was the brother of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Makes a lot of sense. He would have been close. He would have been wounded deeply by Jesus' death. Wounded deeply because he also would have been giving care to his sister Mary, providing perhaps even a place for her to live. There's some speculation. And it's all, J.B. Lightfoot said, it's all speculation. We don't know. We just know his name was Clopas or Cleopas or Cleophas. We know he was walking with a companion. I've always had a nice thought in my mind that perhaps it was his wife. They were a couple. They had been in Jerusalem. And that was not their home, but their home was in this little community called Emmaus. And so they're making this sad trip. This sad, and because of that, longer trip than it had been before. And while they are going down the road, somebody joined them in conversation about the death of Jesus. And so they asked, this stranger says, what are you talking about? What are you discussing as you travel down the road? And they said, don't you know? Are you the only person that's from this part of the world that didn't know what happened these last few days, that they took Jesus and they made fun of him and they stripped him naked and they beat him terribly and they then put him on a cross, and to quote my grandson Matthew, he died. He died. But we thought he was going to be the Messiah. And now we wonder, he couldn't be the Messiah, but now maybe he's just a prophet. But he died. Dead. In the tomb. You see, they didn't know what Paul Harvey called the rest of the story. We know it. We read this story and we think, what a silly story. That surely they should have known. And here's their problem. They didn't stick around long enough to find out on Easter morning. Now, I'm not faulting Cleopas or Clopas or who his companion was. I would have left too. I would have gone away. I get in a hurry sometimes. Some of you notice that, and I'm ready to move on to the next thought or the next conversation. And in 1974 or 75, I was working on campus at Bellhaven, and I had evenings free, and so there was not a lot to do. And a buddy of mine worked for the Jackson Daily News. Anybody remember the Jackson Daily News? You remember that paper? And the sports editor was a man named Lee Baker. And he said, I need people to cover American Legion baseball. And I said, that sounds like a job for me. How much is it? It was $20 to cover the game, to go to the game and then write. There was called a stringer. You went and you wrote an article about the game. You went back to the Clarion Ledger, Jackson Daily News office in downtown Jackson. You sat down at one of these big machines that looked like a typewriter, and it typed it directly into the typeset, and your story went out. And so my first game was the Jackson Bombers against the Jackson Raiders, and it was over in Battlefield Park. Maybe you know where that is in Jackson. Old green wooden fences, no hardly any stands. The parents and the girlfriends were seated in lawn chairs along the edge of the fence, and there was no real press box. I just kind of stood with my little steno pad and made notes. So-and-so-and-so-and-so pitched, and so-and-so-and-so-and-so caught, and so-and-so hit a home run in the third inning, and so-and-so got a single to drive in with a winning run in the bottom of the seventh that gave the Bombers the lead and the game. And so I took my little steno pad. I played high school baseball. I knew that a high school baseball game lasted 7 innings. Wait a minute. Y'all know the story. Go ahead and tell it. American Legion games last 9 innings. Clarion Ledger Lee Baker, in fact, was in the office that night. He said, man, that's the best story about a baseball game I've read, written by a college student. Now, that made me feel really good. So it's 6 o'clock the next morning. The papers hit the racks in the newspaper stand, and the coach of the Raiders called up and said, wait a minute. We came back and won it in the bottom of ninth inning. We want a retraction. Lee Baker called me. I was working back at Sabella and said, Ronnie said, you need to get back over here to the office. I said, well, and do what? See, you didn't stay, get the whole story. I could have been Howard Cosell, folks, I'm telling you. Some of you said, yes, you could have, I guarantee. I could have been Kurt Gowdy. I could y'all don't know these guys. I could have been the great Grantland Rice, the great sport. I dreamed of that. I thought I wanted to cover. I love sports. I still love sports. I could write stuff about it. I thought, and my career is shot because I didn't stay till the end. Now that's funny. But let me tell you what's serious. What's serious is that Clopas and his companion, wife or companion or friend or fellow disciple, didn't have the whole story. And so this stranger on the road is explaining it to him. But Woody, here's what's interesting. He doesn't just say, well, I've heard that this happened. Or I, as I understand it, this Jesus was from Nazareth and nothing good can come out of that. Or he didn't just say, well, you know, I heard that he got people railed up against the rulers of the synagogue. I heard that the Romans didn't like him because they thought he was disturbing the peace. No, here's what he said. It says that he took the scriptures and through the entirety of scripture, by the way, 15 minutes, a mile, 7 miles, 2 hours. Now, I want to be very critical here. How many of you spend 2 hours a day studying the Bible? Ouch. How many of you spend 2 hours a week studying the Bible? I hope so. And he took them through the scripture and he explained to them how all the scripture that they had ever known as Jews, the prophets of the Old Testament, the narratives there and the stories, all of this stuff was leading and pointing and directing them to exactly what they had described happening in Jerusalem, that Jesus would be spat upon, that he would not be this Messiah that people thought he was going to be. In other words, they just couldn't recognize in their own mind that this Jesus who they thought was Messiah and now they thought might be a prophet. Notice they had downgraded him already. Has anybody ever turned out to be something you thought they weren't? How many of you are married? Oh, come on. How many of you are married or have been married and now wish to be married again? Oh, I noticed that was a slim crowd there. Has anybody ever done something or something happened to them or said something that made you think, I don't even recognize you? You ever said that to your wife or your husband, your family member? You see, they didn't recognize Jesus not because they weren't close enough to him. They didn't recognize him because somebody's going to say, well, he had a resurrected body. Sure, that's true. But my goodness, after 2 hours of listening to the inflection of his voice or just the cadence of his voice, you know how that works? The very first funeral I ever did, the husband had died suddenly, and the woman in McCool, Mississippi, said to me, she said, you know what I miss the most? I miss the smell of him making coffee in the morning. And I miss coming in and looking and seeing his shadow from the front door or the kitchen door come in the morning, early morning light, and seeing his shadow against the wall. And she said, you know, more than anything, I just miss the cadence of the rhythm of his voice. Anybody ever miss that? But they didn't recognize him. Johnny Cash wrote a song. It went this way. He said, if you've never fed the hungry or given clothes to the poor, if you've never helped the stranger who came knocking on your door, if you forgot to send some flowers to sick and shut-in friend, well, if you ain't helping none of these, then you ain't helping him. If you've seen some children playing ball behind the school, if you've ever watched an old man plowing ground behind a mule, if you've ever stopped and listened when you could not hear a sound, and brother, you've met him because Jesus gets around. Would you recognize Jesus if you met him face to face? Or would you wonder if he's just another one you could not place? You may not find him coming in a chariot of the Lord, Johnny Cash sang. Jesus could be riding in a 49 Ford. Amen. I love that song. I can't sing it because I don't have Johnny Cash's voice, and I certainly won't do it to you today. But you can find him in the mountains, he said, downtown or by the sea. And brother, there's hope and someone can find him. And you and me, would you recognize Jesus if you met him face to face? Or would you wonder if he's just another one you could not place? You may not find him coming in a chariot of the Lord. By gosh, Jesus could be riding in a 49 Ford. Now, Clopas becomes a saint in the Catholic Church. If you're a Catholic, there is a Saint Clopas, or Cleopas. He's on the list of canonized saints. I don't know what he did and what his miracle was, but he was. And here's what I think his miracle was. His miracle was that it only took him 2 hours to recognize Jesus again. How long does it take us? When we get in grief, when our world is turned completely upside down, when what we think should have happened didn't happen, when someone or somebody or something or some institution or some government or some politician disappoints us. Boy, that could be any day now, couldn't it? When some preacher doesn't do what we think he or she should do, when our closest friends, when the people we're married to, when our children, grandchildren / grandparents, parents, when they disappoint us and we lose sight of them, I can't believe it's you saying that. Somebody said to me one day, is that you? Jesus, is it you? They said on the road, is it you? And here's what's interesting. He read all the scripture. He gave all the prophetic script passages, I'm sure. He read all the stuff about where the baby was to be born and how it was to die and what it would accomplish, and that the kingdom would be brought in not of this world but of another world. And they read that and they still weren't quite sure, and then they sat down to eat. They said, stay with us. I love that old word. I love the old King James. Abide with us. Abide with us. Boy, that's a great prayer, isn't it? Lord, abide with us. Stay with us when we're in trouble. Stay with us when all that we think is flipping around in our world. Abide with us. Jimmy said, pray for us. Abide with us when we are homeless, when we are lost. Abide with us when the mental anguish is so great we don't know what's going to happen next to us. Abide with us when the people we love the most die. Abide with us. And it says he went to break bread. And by the way, some great theologian is going to say, well, this is about the communion bread. This is about, and I hadn't heard, I said that, and I thought, no, they were sitting at the table. This was bread that the wife maybe had baked 2 days earlier when they first went to Jerusalem and they walked it up. But no, this was their meal. They were sitting down eating. So can I tell you something? There is nothing that people miss more than when you're sitting at the table with someone and you recognize their habit. I had a grandfather, my maternal grandfather. We called him Papa. I'm Pop for short. I love that. And Papa Wentz would sit at the table. I remember going there and making that trip to Rockingham from Lexington, North Carolina. I would go stay a lot of weekends. We would go down. We had two sets of grandparents in the same hometown. Wasn't that great? We could see one day and one the next. If we didn't like spending the night with one grandmother, we could go the next one. It was so much fun. And I remember sitting there on Friday night sometimes, and Papa would do the blessing. He would say the prayer, and I could still see him. He would take his hands, he would take the first bite or two of food, and he I don't know if his teeth didn't work right, or if he just liked doing that, or if he liked praying through his meal. But he would fold his hands like those old folded hands of the prayer. And he would sit there at the table, and he would just chew, and he would be quiet. And I remember my grandmother, she'd look at him, and she'd say, Papa, Papa, are you awake? And he would go, and then he would look at her and say, Carolyn, it's good. They look at Jesus, they see him break the bread. His Papa wins. That's him. That's what he does when he eats. That's what he does when he breaks the bread. That's what he does when he chews. You see, when you can recognize Jesus in everyday life, you've got it. Because guess what? We live in everyday life every day. Amen? We're in church 1, 2, maybe 3 hours a week. But Jesus is with us every single day. Abide with us. Stay here. It's getting dark. Abide with us. Eat with us. Break bread with us. Abide with us. Fold your hands and pray with us. Abide with us, Lord. For people are dying and we're hurting and we're confused and there's a lot of trouble in the world. And so, Lord, abide with us. Would you recognize Jesus if he walked the road with you? What road are you walking today? What trouble are you walking away from? Sad. What trouble are you walking away from and it doesn't seem to let go? It just kind of hangs on. It's there. It seems to be walking along with you like a shadow. And so they said, it's him. We recognize him. Do you know that there's that moment we've been talking about all through Easter? We talked about it on Easter morning, Sunday morning, and we found Mary saying what? She runs back and says, I have what? I have seen the Lord. Say it with me. I have seen the Lord. And then he comes in on Easter night and he speaks to Thomas, and Thomas sees the scars and he says what? My Lord and my God. Say it with me. My Lord and my God. And here's what these two do. I don't know how long it took them to get 2 hours to get the 7 miles plus to Emmaus, but I bet you they went back a lot faster and a lot happier. And I bet nobody said, man, this is a long trip. No, this is a short trip. Because we're going to get there in a hurry. And we're going to tell them, we've seen the Lord. This is just the third version in 3 weeks of the same story. And here's what's interesting. All three, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, now Clopas, and his companion or wife, all three are saying the very same thing. We have seen Jesus. We have seen the Lord, my Lord and my God. And guess what? We've got to tell somebody. You know what I just did without meaning to? I just summed up the mission and the ministry of the church that we're part of. Easter morning, we saw the Lord. When we're walking in despair and darkness and defeat and grief and don't know what's going to happen next, we can see the Lord. When we are in our deepest doubts and wonder if Jesus is ever going to come back, we can see His hands and His scars and His side. And like Mary Magdalene who went to bury Him, we can come away from the scene saying, guess what? I've seen the Lord. He's alive. Do you know what kind of message that is? You know, John Wesley understood it. He said that the Methodist people call Methodists have the greatest message in the world. It's the same message all Christians have. It is that Christ is alive. Matthew said to us walking on the golf course yesterday, he said, Nettie, Jesus died. He cried. He said he cried. And then he died. And then what, Matthew? He did what? Up from the grave, he what? He arose. Mary Magdalene got that message. Thomas got that message. Clopas and companion got the message. And because guess what? If you will open your eyes and open your ears and open your heart, you can see Jesus. You believe that? And get this. If you'll open your heart and open your eyes, and open your mind, Jesus will show you somebody that needs to see Him as well. I've seen the Lord. My Lord and my God. We've seen Jesus. And he showed up at mealtime, or at bedtime, or in the still of the night, or in the shadow cast on the kitchen wall, or by grandfather praying and saying it's good for her. I don't know where Jesus will show up this week, but can I tell you something? He will. Have you ever seen a kid playing ball? Have you ever seen an old man driving a mule? Have you ever seen it? If you've seen it, then guess what? If you didn't see him, you ain't looked it. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 25. He said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to, when you see somebody hungry, I need you to feed them. When you see somebody naked, I need you to clothe them. When you see somebody in trouble, I need you to take care. When you see somebody in prison and locked up, I need you to go visit them. And they'll say, when did we ever see you doing that? And he said, if you saw somebody at the least of these, you did it unto me. Jesus Christ wants us to see him alive and on the throne of our lives and being our Lord and our God. And that's the message he wants us to share with others. Do you know somebody that could use a sight of Jesus today? That could use a conversation with Jesus this week? That might need the presence of Jesus to walk alongside them on that long, painful journey called life? Anybody? I'll bet there's somebody close to you right now who needs to say, it's him. He's alive. I've seen the Lord. My Lord and my God. We've seen Jesus. That's it. Lord, we don't know where that might be. We might find ourselves walking away from trouble. We might just find ourselves in an ordinary experience of life. We might find ourselves sitting in church. We might be in camp meeting at the tabernacle, and it might happen that way. Or Lord, we might be in Walmart standing in the pharmacy line being impatient because the person in front of us has half the money they need for their prescription. Or we might just be driving down the road and being stop and go traffic somewhere and be frustrated with that. And Lord, we look across and we see somebody crying. Or we may get on the phone or get a text. Or we may hear from a child or a grandchild. Or we may hear from a dear friend. Or we may hear from somebody who's sleeping in the bed next to us and say, I need to see Jesus in you. Lord, that's a hard task. If you need it. But Lord, it is our eternal joy if you're alive. So Lord, help us to see you and to follow you. Like the song said, he leadeth me. Lord, to follow you and to share wherever we are and with whomever we meet, whoever we see. We've seen Jesus. And then to open up the scriptures and share it as well as you can. And Lord, as we do that, we'll be the church. And in being the church, we'll be your body. And in being your body, guess what? People will see. Help us to do that. Live all that out in the flesh. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand, and Toddy's going to lead us in a wonderful song. Abide with me, fast fall to eventide. I want to give just an invitation of sorts today. And that is for you to think about this week and to be looking. Here's what it takes. I never thought about my grandfather chewing on his food with his hands folded as a means of grace, but it was and it still is. I want you to begin to look for opportunities for God's grace to work through you and in you with those around you. God's grace to work through you and in you with those around you. And be the body of Christ so people can see Christ raised up. Let's stand with you.
please turn to number 678. We'll sing the first and last verses of Abide With Me.
Abide with me, fast falls eventide. Darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. Helpers, comfort flee. Help of a helpless soul, abide with me. On thy cross, before thy cleansing eyes, shine through the gloom and hold me to the sky. Heaven's morning breaks, and earth's faint shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
Listen to what we just sang. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom, and point me to the sky. That's it. That shine through the gloom. They were walking that road today. They thought that their life, their Lord, that all they had hoped for and dreamed about in terms of their spiritual lives was gone. And yet Christ came and appeared and was with them and was present with them and stayed with them and stays with us through His Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us in God's Word today. If this message encouraged or challenged you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. That's part of witnessing boldly. We're so grateful you're part of this global Methodist family. May you go from here filled with the joy of the Lord and the power of His Spirit. Until next Sunday, walk closely with Jesus. God bless you.